want to thank you for the opportunity. Ken contacted me on Friday. He didn't give me much time. He called and he said, he asked if I would put something together for this morning because of his lingering cold and congestion. I accepted the invitation immediately, not really thinking it through thoroughly, and I started praying. And I think that's what we should do first and foremost in any situation where we find ourselves in a different situation than what we expected. And I prayed and I said, Lord, what message is it that you want me to use to challenge those who are attending Victory Christian Fellowship on the first Sunday after New Year's? Well, let me start off by saying Happy New Year. Amen. Amen. Bonnie and I left Lynchburg last Monday and we headed to Virginia Beach to visit our daughter Kimberly and her guys, mainly to do three things. Number one, we wanted to celebrate Christmas with Kimberly, Earl, Ryan, and Chase. Number two, we wanted to celebrate Kimberly's 55th birthday with her. Number three, we wanted to celebrate New Year's Eve with them as well. The importance there is, for those of you who don't know our daughter Kimberly, and for those of you that know her well, she was born on New Year's Eve. And in fact, she was born at 11:15 at night on New Year's Eve. Her brother always calls her at 11:15 at night on New Year's Eve. So we had Kimberly for 45 minutes. But we got to get credit for her for the whole year for a tax deduction. We didn't have all the excitement of her being the first baby born in Richmond that year, but we did have the joy of having her for the whole 15 minutes to get that tax credit. There's another young lady that had a recent birthday. When was your birthday? January the 1st. She was the first baby born in Lynchburg 18 years ago. How can you be 18? How does that happen? So, baby Lee was born 18 years ago on New Year's. The new year is often seen as a symbol of time to start fresh. Many of us will make New Year's resolutions or promises that we make to improve ourselves in the coming year, like eating healthier, exercising more, saving money when we can. But too many of us set lofty goals. And after a short period of time, what happens? We break the resolution. We don't keep the goals. We give up. And we're back to our old selves again. We laugh and we say, oh well, I guess I broke that resolution. I'll try again next year. A true resolution or goal is an intent or a commitment to achieve a set goal and make a positive change in the new calendar year ahead. So where are we right now spiritually in 2025? Are we ready to make or set goals for the new beginning with the Lord? Where is our priority? Is He first in our life? What is it that we will do differently this year to improve ourselves from a biblical standpoint? Are we committed to pray more, to read the Bible more, to praise the Lord more, spend time with God without filling our days with other worldly activities? I find that is probably the worst thing that I do. I want to spend more time with the Lord, But as Bonnie might say, life gets in the way. But it doesn't have to. We prioritize everything else. We set aside time for things that we want to do and things that we, places we like to go and exciting things that we would like to have time to do. We set aside time to do that. What about God? Think about that for a moment. When you pray, whether it be 5 minutes or an hour or however long the length of time that you pray, most of the time for me it's just a few minutes. But it's not God that leaves. It's not God that says time out. It's not God that says, you know, I've had enough, I've heard enough from you today. Now go do your thing. No, it's us. We're the ones. We're the ones that say, okay, God, I've got to go do this or that or the other. I've spent 5 minutes with you. Now I'm going to spend the rest of the day doing what I want to do. Where are we? What are our goals? What is our New Year resolution for 2025? You know, we as humans enjoy things that make us happy and excite us, like marrying the love of our life, having a new baby, moving into a new house, buying a new car. Where is Sean? I like your new vehicle. Getting a new job. I like your new job. Yeah. And the list could go on and on and on. There are things that we get excited about. Many of these life experiences end up being first experiences. First time we do something in our life. Things that excite us and make us happy. But each year we have the opportunity to turn the page, so to speak. As some politicians have said recently, we need to turn the page. As we look forward to what God has planned for us in the coming year. What are His plans? How are we going to find out? What are we going to do to find out what God has planned for us? Not what we have planned for God, but what does God have planned for us? Yes, there'll be new things on the horizon and there will be disappointments and even the possibility of being tragically hurt in some way in the coming year. But remember this, God is on the throne. Jesus is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And the Holy Spirit is present with us every minute of the day to lead the way, because He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. Think about it for a moment. The God of all creation loves you. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, has paid the price for all of our sins. He has provided forgiveness and eternal life through His life, death, and His resurrection, and the Holy Spirit anoints us with His everlasting presence. What more could we ask for? Speaking of new beginnings, and I want you to, I'm cheating. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm cheating this morning. I don't have my Bible up here because I've got all the scripture written down. But I want you to open your scripture. I want you to open your Bibles this morning, because I think it's important for us to see what the Word has to say. So look first at John 1:1. John chapter 1, verse 1. You can probably quote it. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So as we know, this scripture has several key points. The Word represents Jesus. With God implies the fact that Jesus has always been with God the Father. In the beginning signifies that Jesus existed before the creation of the universe. And this verse also states a very important fact. Jesus is God. This fact, God has always existed. Therefore, he has no beginning and no end. As we look at the word again in 2 Timothy, there's going to be a number of scriptures that we're going to look at this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Speaking of the importance of Scripture, and it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, and that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is given by God. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for us as believers that we might understand doctrine, that we might understand what it is that God wants to show to us for the purpose of correction, for the purpose of instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, that us, that all of us in this room may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is true because it's not man's word, but because it's God's word. Hopefully, as we look at these other scriptures this morning, and I looked up probably 30 or more scriptures, and I said, that's too many. What is it that I'm going to share? So I selected a few, and I hope that the word that I share with you this morning, and it's going to be mainly scripture, but what I share with you this morning, I hope it has an impact on you. As you seek the Lord, as you have a desire to hear what it is that God has to say. The first one is Jeremiah 29:11. Again, it's probably a scripture that's very familiar to you. Bonnie and I have the privilege of owning a laser engraving business, and I make little coins. We call them pocket coins. And I've got, I don't know how many, 20, 30 or more pocket coins that are just scripture. And we have them at the community market where we have a booth set up, and I enjoy when a young person, maybe, how old are you, 12? Somewhere around 10, 12 years old. A junior high person, even a high school person. When they come by the booth and they're looking at this whole table full of little wooden coins and it's all scripture and they're trying to pick out which one it is that they want. Or maybe they want more than one. And very often I will say, I haven't given away one today. I would like to give you one of these. And inevitably, as the Lord leads, I will go and I will pick up the one that says, Jeremiah 29:11, because I want them to hear the message that is here. Your whole life is in front of you. And it speaks hopefully to them as well as to us. For it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That's God speaking here. These are God's plans for God's people. Philippians 3:13-14. I certainly don't consider myself an expert in the word because I'm not. I learned an awful lot with our pastor, Ken. As he gets into the Word and he's able to decipher that Word and he's able to build a message around that Word. And here's Paul saying, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize, for the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Some of us know what lies behind, what has happened over the last year, but none of us really know what lies ahead. But God does. Nothing surprises God. And there's a prize, there's a goal, and we need to reach for that goal. There's a calling on us through Jesus Christ. Proverbs 6:9. Speaking of making plans, it says, the mind of a person plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We may set plans for ourselves for the coming year, but as we surrender ourselves to the Lord and we give ourselves to Him and we dedicate ourselves fully and completely, although we may have plans, and there's nothing wrong with making plans, but if we give it up to the Lord, then He will direct our steps. Ephesians 5:15 and 16. It says, so then be careful how you walk, not as an unwise or not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So as we look at Proverbs we just read, we need to be careful how we walk. We need to use wisdom in the things that we do, the places we go, the people that we sit and counsel with and pray with. Wisdom comes from the Lord. He wants us to make the most of the time that He gives to us. We waste so much time. We're all guilty of it. A lot of it's trivia. It just amounts to a pile of garbage, if you really think about it. Jokes that we tell and making fun of one another and kidding around. And that's in all just good, having a good time sometimes. But how much time are we wasting rather than using the time that God has given to us? Our time is short. I'm getting older. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Psalm 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Now, so this is the psalmist David, more than likely, speaking to God, and he's asking God to cleanse my heart, for I have sinned. I have fallen short. I'm guilty. Create in me a clean heart, please God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. May this be the cry of our heart. And then there's one of my favorite scriptures of all time. You've probably heard me quote it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I want to step aside for just a second. Bonnie and Ken had a brother named Lee. You're named after your uncle. And he... didn't want to do this. He was a very special man. He loved the Lord. He was a pastor. He had a great impact on us. I remember sitting, he was a student at Virginia Tech prior to going into the ministry. And I remember sitting in his driveway. We had taken him somewhere and we were dropping him off, and I remember, and he said, "I want to do something before I get out of the car." And we said, "What?" He said, "I want to pray with you." We weren't used to that kind of thing. And here, my brother-in-law, somebody that I had watched him grow up, and he'd gone off to Tech, and he'd gotten involved with, what's the group there at Virginia Tech, the InterVarsity, yeah. And the influence that InterVarsity had on his life, he wanted to share that with us and others. And so we sat there in the kind of uncomfortably as he prayed for us. And I won't forget that special time with him. And there was another time, the scripture that we're about to read. I remember him singing this scripture. I can't sing it. I don't know what the tune was. But I remember him singing the scripture. And at that point in time, I really didn't know the scripture very well at all. But because he presented it to me in music, and that's, you know, that's kind of how scripture was shared a lot in the Old Testament. These are the words. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. What does that mean to you? Do you really trust the Lord with all your heart? Have you surrendered yourself anew to Him? And if you have, then let's not lean on our own understanding. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trust in the Lord, and He'll direct your paths. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Just a few more verses here. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We're saved by grace through faith. Without the grace of God, we have no hope. Without putting faith in Christ, we have no future. Our future is bleak. But it's given to us, not because of anything that we have done, but all because of what God has done for us. Luke 1:37, it says, for nothing will be impossible with God. What does the future hold? What does 2025 hold? I don't know. But I know that there's going to be times that we'll come up and we're going to pray and we're going to say, God, are you able to do this? God, is it possible for you to do this? God, can you heal us of cancer? God, can you take care of this desperate need that I have? What is it? There's going to be these times that come up. There's going to be tragedies that happen. There's going to be times we really need God, and we're going to be able to call out to Him and say, God, I believe nothing is impossible with You. This ministry, Victory Christian Fellowship, this ministry is going to be built back up again, because nothing is impossible with God. As we pray and we dedicate ourselves and we invite people, and the important thing for us is not going out here and finding people that are already part of a church. The important thing for us is to go out here and find people that don't know Jesus, and to tell them about Jesus. I've been talking to a young man. I'm not going to say who he is or anything else, but somebody that Donnie and I care about a lot. And he sent me a message, a New Year's message the other day, and I said, if you and your wife don't have a church home, I'd like to invite you to come to our church. I don't know whether you'll come or not, but that's kind of where we need to be. Are we going to invite them to come to the Lord, and are we going to invite them to come to church? Are we going to sit down with them and take the time that is necessary to make disciples of people so that they can become a part of a dynamic ministry at 615 Leesville Road? Or are we going to just sit back and expect the pastor to do it? Then it's not going to get done. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Our faith. You know, again, if we're going to get into the word, if we're going to spend time in the word, if we're going to hear God, we're going to hear a lot from just His word. Faith comes by hearing. That's why it's important for us to come on Sunday morning. That's why it's important for us to be here on Wednesday night. Folks, if you don't come here on Wednesday night, you're missing a tremendous opportunity to hear the Word. Because not only do we hear it, we study it, we talk about it, we discuss it. Our pastor answers questions. We pray about it. You really need to be here on Wednesday night, folks. And there's another opportunity on Tuesday nights if you will just dial a number. It's out there. It's part of this ministry. And we pray for each other on Tuesday night, every Tuesday night, 8:30. Ask us what the number is. We'll give it to you. Spend some time with us in prayer on Tuesday nights, as we pray for others, as we pray for this ministry. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith and in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Stuart shared the message that the Lord gave him for communion this morning, and Jesus gave up His life for us. Can't we just give up our life for Him in return? Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Do you have a reason to rejoice? Do you have joy in your heart? You can have joy. You can have peace. You can have all that God has to offer. we have the reason to rejoice every day. That reason is Jesus. You know, we say, Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, Jesus is the reason for the joy of the Lord. For His joy gives us strength. Lastly, John 16:33. And Jesus says to all of us, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. Peace in the world that you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." Yes, there will be tribulation. There will be problems. There will be reasons to be discouraged. But we can have the peace of the Lord. For he has defeated Satan. He has defeated the enemy. And he has overcome the world. Be reminded that new beginnings are ours because Jesus defeated Satan at the cross. Bonnie and I have had great opportunities in the life that we've lived, and a lot of that, quite frankly, is due to the fact that we've always had men of God to sit under, to listen to receive from. And then He's, through that, enabled us to go out and to do some things that we never dreamed we would ever be able to do. God has opened many ministry doors for Bonnie and I through the years, mostly through the 24 or so years when we owned and operated New Life Christian Stores. Those were good times in many ways in our family as we served this community and many churches in the area with Christian books, music, teaching materials, Bibles, gifts. During those years, several members of the parish family worked for us and with us in our business, including Ken and Becky and Sean. It was also during those years that Bonnie and I had several opportunities to serve on some short-term mission trips in places like Rome, Poland, India, Finland, and Norway. God has been good to us through the 59 years of our marriage. Having raised three children who are all serving the Lord along with their spouses in various ministries, and He has blessed us with seven grandchildren and two grandchildren by marriage. And we're looking forward to one day having great-grandchildren like the parishes. We've been politically involved, and we've been blessed to have the opportunity to speak to law enforcement personnel through law enforcement chaplaincy. And we have had the honor to serve alongside with Ken and Becky and support their call to this community. And we stand firm with them. We're not going anywhere. We're going to do our part to build this ministry back. And I pray that you'll do the same. I'm saying all this to say that we have seen a lot of beginnings through the years that have developed into ministry opportunities. And I will soon be 80 years old. I'm not bragging, just reality. But together, Bonnie and I are still looking for new beginnings. How about you? Father, thank you for the gift of a new year, a fresh start with opportunities to grow closer to you. As we step into this new year, we surrender our plans, dreams, and worries to your perfect will. Guide our steps, strengthen our faith, help us to trust you in every season. God, fill our hearts with hope and joy. Teach us to love others as you have loved us. And may this year be one of walking in your light, sharing your grace, and growing in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen.